I came over to WA to inspect the extent and impact of the devastating frost that occurred across large parts of the Western Australian wheat belt, particularly in the Great Southern region, to discuss with growers what strategies they've been using to manage frost risk, what options are available for them, gain some information as a prelude into a review of our R&D investment in frost research that we'll be doing in a few weeks' time to see what we could be doing more of or better or more focused. So, yeah, that was the overall intent of the trip.
Were you surprised by what you saw?
I had heard of the impact, but I guess until you really see it firsthand, it's hard to comprehend a crop, for example, a crop of barley where it's difficult to find a grain in that had a yield potential in the order of 3 to 4 tonne per hectare. That must be absolutely devastating for a farmer to see that of their business.
So what were farmers telling you, Steve?
Oh, we travelled 300 kilometres from, let's say, Brookton to Lake King. And across there we saw frost damage in the range of probably 10 to 20% loss up to a 95% loss. Probably this year there were a number of frosts that were high impact frosts, that are probably in the range of 4 to 6 frosts, that each of them were in the range of -3 to -7. So it was very, very few crops escaped the frost this year. Normally you would get some crops due to timing of the frost event would escape this year. The spread out and the extent of them was so bad that almost everything got hurt. Barley was probably the worst this year. Canola and wheat were pretty similarly impacted. Oats were the best. But in a year like this one, there weren't too many frost risk management strategies that growers were using other than maybe growing oats and or hay that actually made an impact in a season like this.
Given that you were collating info, as you mentioned, for this review, this really upcoming review of the National Frost Initiative, how integral was that information that you did garner from growers this week?
Oh, really important. There was a lot of anecdotal evidence of things that make a difference that farmers had observed, and there'd been, you know, some preliminary research that was also hinting at things that were making a difference. Look, historically, risk management strategies such as varying your time of seeding, varying your crop choice, varying your flowering time or maturity of your varieties, these sort of things have been standard frost mitigation or frost risk management strategies that growers have been using. I guess what we learned there is that we probably could do with a better understanding of the different phenology of wheat and barley varieties, that when you plant them at a certain time, when are they likely to flower, and where's the high and low risk of that under different conditions. But some of the other things that we learned is that stubble management practices make a difference. Unfortunately, probably the less stubble, the less damage, and things like mobile ploughing, spading that people were doing for alleviating non-wetting soils were making a difference, and that people were finding that these sort of practices were reducing the impact of frost. We also learned that things like high nitrogen rates tended to exacerbate or increase the level of frost damage. Similarly, high seeding rates were leading to more frost damage, which makes sense in that higher seeding rates, which growers are using for chasing yield and also managing herbicide-resistant weeds, which is all very good strategies. However, higher seeding rates also creates more synchronous flowering, which puts you at a greater risk of frost damage. So these are the sort of lessons that we're learning. Also variation within the paddock. I mean, this year almost everything got hurt, but variation within different parts of the paddock and the landscape in terms of in the range of sort of 10% loss up to 100% loss. And I guess the thing that came out of this is what sort of do we really have a understanding of the opportunity costs of different strategies? I think we could get a better handle on those. Is there opportunity for looking at things like varying seeding rates over the landscape, much like we do in a variable rate technology approach when it comes to fertiliser? Similarly with fertiliser practices, could we also look at different stubble management practices in those higher risk areas? On top of that, we've also got the ongoing work that we're doing in genetics, is to look at the levels of tolerance that we can achieve, and particularly in wheat and barley. And some of the other questions that growers raised were, are there any chemicals or protectants? And we're certainly just starting to look at that, and I think we could have another look at that. That's pretty a long shot, but I think it's worth looking at a long shot when it comes to frost.
Now, you mentioned genetics, Stephen. As we know, in your previous life, you were head of Australia's largest plant breeding company. How much do you think genetics will play in the ongoing solution to frost?
There's evidence that we may be able to tap into genetic variants that may be able to increase our level of tolerance by 1 or 2 degrees. So, you know, it is possible that we could be getting significant better levels of tolerance down to, say, let's say -2 degree frost. But the type of frost that we're seeing here of -4 to -7, really within what's possible without a GM approach, I can't see that genetically that we can deal with that sort of level of frost. But however, a -1 or -2, an additional -1 or -2 degree level of frost tolerance will make a huge. We've worked out it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars in higher yields under frost situations if you could just get 1 or 2. So that's what the focus of the genetic work is, but I don't want anyone to believe that genetically we're going to be able to provide that panacea. We're going to need various risk management strategies as well as trying to improve genetically our crops.
Now, you did ask growers that you met to keep you in the loop on a few things. What exactly did you request of them?
Really, any ideas, any observations they've made? The other one, a farmer observation has been that where farmers have applied higher rates of potassium, that they're getting less frost damage. And it's these sort of anecdotal or observations that farmers are making that we can then go and run some experiments over and put a dollar value on it. Let's say if you put on higher rates of potassium, what's the return on investment over your farm over a 5 or 6 year period based on your risk profile from frost? So is that an economically viable strategy for you to be doing that? Similarly with reducing, say, seeding rates in your high risk areas, what's the impact of that on herbicide resistant weeds? What's your impact on yield? So what's the dollar value proposition of that? What was your opportunity cost? And this is the sort of things that we can do, and the type of feedback we're getting from growers on this particular situation is invaluable in trying to develop these, I guess you could call them almost models for risk management models. And so that feedback from growers has been really good so far and will be even more important going forward.